This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a toasty and tasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Randy? Can you feel it?
Hey, it's working for me. You're coming in loud and clear all the way from, what, Maine, is it? Is that where you're coming from tonight?
Yeah, we're still in the winter wonderland, man. We got snow again yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. And, well, it's down here it's about 72 degrees in mid-Missouri, and it's just the way I like it. I hope you don't hear the crickets coming in through the window, because it's very nice.
Oh, I love that. You know, when I used to live out in Chelsea, Maine, which is just not very far from where I am now, but I was out in the country, I can remember a couple of times doing podcasts out on my porch, and my co-hosts were like, "What is that sound?" And you could hear those crickets loud and clear. It was great.
Which served to fill the dead air if you didn't have to say it at a given moment. Hey, didn't you also want to mention that Freedom Fiends is governed by a BIPCOT no government license,
which allows reuse by anyone except
governments.
You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
BIPCOT.org. If I say that enough times, I'll be able to get it right. But it's BIPCOT, right?
I know. It kind of rolls off the tongue, but it kind of doesn't.
It kind of slides off the side of mine.
Yeah.
So did you catch Better Call Saul last night? Was that the season finale?
Yeah, I guess it was. And it wasn't... I liked the way it ended. It wasn't quite as much of a cliffhanger as I thought it would be. And like I was telling you earlier, I kind of liked last week's episode a little bit better.
That was Pimento, right?
Yes.
Which was named for the... when Mike shows up to do his first criminal protection job, right?
Which and is awesome.
The other guys show up and they're asking what kind of gun he has. And he says, "I've got a pimento," and he didn't have a gun; he just had a pimento sandwich.
Yeah, he. I really like Mike. I mean, I liked him in Breaking Bad, and his character is coming along so nicely in Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I really enjoy that. But Michael, of course, not Michael. I mean, Jimmy, Slippin' Jimmy, Saul, however we do that. You know, I think that the last 2 weeks are really, there's a change that has come over him. And for quite a while there, we were starting to get real warm and fuzzy feelings about him, you know, being so nice to the old people and doing good. And it looks like he's going to settle into a very conventional elder law practice, which, of course, we all know in the end cannot happen because he's Saul. He's not Jimmy, right?
Yeah. Well, in the episode Pimento last week's, after I watched it, I posted on Facebook and Twitter and Google that we witnessed the birth of Saul, because Saul needed that Breaking Bad moment, you know what I mean? And when his brother lit into him and basically called him a scumbag and told him that he didn't mind him working in the mailroom because he could control Slipping Jimmy, but Slipping Jimmy with a law degree working at a reputable law firm was just wrong. That was the moment. You could see it in his eyes. He was devastated.
Well, what did you think of that, to see, you know, this guy, this big firm lawyer who obviously, you know, has had it made and is very prosperous and successful, and he looks at poor Jimmy and he says, "You can't come to work at our firm. You're not a real lawyer." And says, attacks him and says, "Your degree is from American Samoa University." And, you know, when I first saw that, it gave me a real sick feeling, because I actually know some lawyers that have that that attitude. I mean, they have this enlarged thing about their profession and that. I mean, yeah, it's a public service and people pay you money to do it, but, you know, so's my plumber and I value what they do. And it was kind of horrible. I just cringed when he did that to the guy. I mean, it's hard enough. You're just not allowed to start hang out your shingles, start practicing law. They have all these hoops you have to jump through, and Jimmy did it all, right?
Yeah. Well,
he did everything that was required, and then he's taking this garbage from his brother.
I was a little saddened. I kind of thought, what's the bigwig, the one that Jimmy doesn't like?
Hamlin.
I kind of thought like maybe they were going to bring up something in their past, and that's why he wouldn't let him work there. I guess I should have seen it coming that it was his brother, but I was really kind of crushed because throughout the show, his brother has been supportive of him. Like when he brings him this case from the nursing home, he like helps him set it up and get going and does a lot of the legwork. The office work behind the scenes. And then he just turns on him. But I think that was the best way to propel Jimmy down the road to becoming Saul.
Well, you could say it was propelling him to becoming Saul, but it was also prophetic to him reverting to Saul. Because you remember when he was trying to explain to Jimmy why he was betraying him, stabbing him in the back and saying he isn't good enough to be a real lawyer. He says, slipping Jimmy with a law degree is like a monkey with a machine gun.
Yeah.
And you know, when I heard that and I thought, you know, maybe I shouldn't be too hard on Chuck because he does have, he's saying you have certain power in this job that you have and there's no way you won't abuse it. Because, you know, you're as dangerous as a monkey with a machine gun. And, you know, and I was thinking, well, maybe I was too harsh on Chuck, you know, when he first told him he's not a real lawyer or something like that. Because he maybe knew Jimmy better than we do and knew that he was going to end up being a disaster, a pimple on the public behind eventually and knew where it was going. And that was last week. And now this week, last night's show, everything, that transition that started last week finished up at the end of the show. Although one thing we did find out, I think it was last night's show, what the Chicago sunroof was.
Yeah, that was
you recall
great.
That? Because in the original show, he explained that he didn't really commit indecent exposure. It was just a simple Chicago sunroof. And we found out last night that they only thought that it was an indecent exposure because it turns out, as he didn't know, but there were two Boy Scouts in the backseat of the car when he pulled his stunt.
Yeah.
So I can understand why Jimmy felt like he really shouldn't be considered a sex offender. And actually, he'd have a good point. I think he got out of that, so it was okay for him. So, do you remember the thing at the very end, though? He got his big chance. He got his big chance to get with the big firm and really make it big, and he just flushed it away and said, I'm not going to be Jimmy McGill. I'm going to be... He didn't say, I'm going to be Saul. But when he came up to the ticket booth to Mike and said, I had $1.6 million, you know, on my lap, and you and I could have split the money and no one anywhere would have ever known. And he said, I don't know why I didn't do that, but I will never do that again. And as he drove off at the end of the show to the sounds of Smoke on the Water,
yeah,
you know that Saul has definitely made his appearance and Jimmy is gone.
Well, I knew he wasn't going to take the position at the law firm because even if they weren't birthing the character of Saul, he's always wanted to do his own thing. And especially when Chuck refused him at his law firm, you knew that was it. And So he wouldn't take that job, but I was kind of wondering if they were going to lead in with something to make him a little bit more money. I mean, I know he got the, what do they call that? The, not a finder's fee, but...
A co-counsel fee to pay him for the work that he had already done in that case. But, of course, the big money was the 20% of the net profit at the end for bringing the case in, and that would have been millions.
Yep. Well,
so, he walked
away.
And
it remains to be seen, though, because he'll still get that payoff
when
that
case
is eventually
settled. He'll get the payoff, but he won't get the job with the big firm.
But it kind of makes you wonder, because we know from Breaking Bad that he doesn't have a fancy office. You know, he's got that office in the mall.
The wax and nail salon.
Well, but when he actually starts his own place, remember the office he's got with the inflatable Statue of Liberty on top?
Oh, in the strip mall, yeah.
Yeah, it's not... you know, very fancy. It's not what you would consider a reputable law firm by any stretch. So it kind of makes you wonder if he does get a lot of money, that payoff, what happened to him?
Well,
what
does
he
do with it? You know, I don't have any columns in my office, nor do I have any U.S. Constitution wallpaper.
Yeah, that is true.
Or even an inflatable Statue of Liberty out front.
That is true. I guess I'm just thinking of, the waiting room. When you see everyone in Breaking Bad going in and waiting in the waiting room, it just looks horrible.
Yeah, I'm sure that you can get one of those inflatable Statue of Liberties anytime that it's not tax season.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Do people dress up like the Statue of Liberty?
Oh yes! I saw one the other day, and I took a picture of it and posted it online and made fun of it. It was just ridiculous.
Oh, I get a kick out of that. Hey, it sounds like we're on our way to the market.
Yes, we are.
Well, but the Freedom Fiends will be back.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
And we're back with the Freedom Fiends. Say, probably some people are wondering about Michael. And Michael Dean has developed a really... unless he's calling us. But anyway, he's developed a really severe asthma in the past 4 months, and his lifelong allergy to cats, perhaps, has flared up on him pretty bad, and he may not even now be able to have cats anymore. But and if there is any sane person within driving distance of Casper, Wyoming, who wants to adopt one or both of his wonderful kitties, Peanut and Charlie, contact Michael by sending an email to talkback@freedomfiends.com. And so with that, I hope Michael is feeling well right now. We were talking about Better Call Saul, weren't we, Chandler? And I'm here with Chandler. Is it Saint-Pierre? Is that how you say that, Chandler?
Saint-Pierre, yeah.
Saint-Pierre. Are you...
The jabbering coon cat.
The jabbering coon cat. You live in Maine. Are there a lot of people that speak French up there? Are you a French guy? French-Canadian or something? Or any of that? Because your name is so French.
I am French-Canadian, and the French-speaking people aren't quite as prevalent as they were. I grew up in a French-speaking French Canadian Catholic community. I went to Catholic school too. So, yeah, I'm kind of familiar with that. I don't speak a whole lot of French. I can understand a little bit and speak even less.
Oui. So, but your family never did like make it on down to what, New Orleans? Is that where a lot of your people up there ended up?
I don't know, man.
The Cajuns, aren't they from French people from your part of the country?
I guess, probably. I know a lot of the French people in Maine just migrated down from Quebec and stuff. So,
yeah. Well, you're almost no distance from Quebec.
About 6 hours.
Yeah, I mean, you could go back and forth to Quebec a dozen times before you could get to Missouri, right?
No. No, I don't know. How far is Missouri from
Maine? It's a long way. It's a long way.
My cousin of course, lives in Missouri.
How far is anything from Maine?
Exactly. Well, you know, when I lived down in Florida and I told everyone I lived in Maine, they're like, where's that, in Canada? They had no clue.
Now, you were telling me about some tickets that you got and some things that you didn't feel were just quite right.
Oh, yes.
Wanted to talk about those a little bit, and you figured if you got a criminal defense attorney, which is what I do for a living, on, you could talk about it for free. So I guess that's what we can do if you wanted to.
Yeah.
What do you got going?
Well, I was contacted by the government yet again. I was driving home the other day, and our audience that have listened to shows with Derek J and I know that I'm not real big on registrations and permission slips and all that nonsense.
You're talking about registration of your car?
Registration of anything, but in this case, yes, of my car.
You do one of those things. What does Ian in New Hampshire, doesn't he have some sort of, you know, different license plate that he puts on his car? Did I understand that right? Have I heard that?
I've heard that before. No, I just don't. Well, they give you those little stickers to put on your license plate when you register your car and pay them their fee. And I haven't gotten one in a while.
You mean the little thing that just tells it's good till this certain date and year?
Right.
So the license plate that you have on there, is that a license plate that is registered in your name?
Yes.
Okay, so the fact that it's not up to date would not allow you to get away with a hit and run or something, you know, if you were pursuing a life of crimes against actual victims, right?
Correct.
I mean, even though it's not up to date, anyone could take down your license number and they could run you down.
Oh, yeah.
So nobody's being hurt. Nobody's being hurt. So why do you think they're being so harsh with you?
Well, because they need to generate revenue. And, you know, it's cheaper to pay the fine for not having a registration than it is to register my car. Because, like I was saying, I was driving home the other day and I passed a cop in the opposite direction. He was pulling someone else over. And I was almost home, and I see the blues behind me, and I'm like, oh no, so I stepped on it, and I drove into my yard, and I will conclude the story of what happened when we get back from the market. It's kind of
We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelts from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Where's that wampus cat?
Right here.
So, when we left, our hero noticed blue lights coming up from behind him.
That would be you.
Yes. So, I couldn't believe that cop, like, spun around so quick from pulling somebody over and was... I knew he was after me. I just had this sneaking suspicion.
Well, this up. You're going one direction and the cop is going the other and you're getting close to home?
Yeah. Oh, he wasn't going in one direction. He was coming from the other direction and he was pulling somebody else over. They were out thick that day. I saw like three of them on my way home. So anyway, I see those blues off in the distance coming over the hill. I stepped on it because I could see my house pretty much from where I was.
So you're practically home free.
Yep. So I gunned it and pulled into my driveway, shut my car off, got out of the car, and he's like right in there after me. Right behind me, pulls right in, half in the road, half in my driveway, and I'm like, "Can I help you?" And he's like, "Yeah, I noticed your tags were not the wrong color." And I said, "Did you now? Huh?" And he asked me to sit down, get back in the car, and then he says, "Do you live here?" And I was like, "Well, if I didn't live here, why would I be, you know, getting out of my car with my bag and everything?" He's like, "Well, I actually had somebody do that the other day. You know, they pulled into some guy's house when they saw me coming." I didn't say anything, but I thought, you know, maybe that should clue you in that you're in the wrong line of work. You know, people run when they see you coming, right?
Well, so, maybe. Now, did you feel if you could just get into the driveway before he got up there, you might be okay?
Yes. I didn't realize, and you explained it to me quite well.
But that's what a lot of people think that. He was telling you that other people also think that, right?
Yeah. And I didn't realize that even though you were on your own property, that they could still pull you over. So, you know, whatever. I was very polite. And for a while, anyway. And he still wrote me the ticket. And I was like, you know, this is absolute nonsense. I said, we shouldn't even have to pay for registering a vehicle and getting permission to ride on the roads. And he's like, "Oh, sorry, it's above my pay grade." And, you know, I tried to reason with him, human to human, and that was just his response. "Sorry, above my pay grade." So I got a ticket, and funny enough, the ticket's like, I don't know, $70 or $80, and it cost me $100 to register my car. Oh, by the way, I didn't go register my car after. He's like, you know, "Go get that taken care of so you don't get pulled over again." Yeah, whatever. I didn't register my car even after that.
Do they have property tax in Maine?
Oh, yes. And
do you have to have your property taxes paid before you can register your car?
No, I don't know because I've got a mortgage.
Oh, you've never been to register your car, so you wouldn't know.
Oh, I've registered my car in the past, but
In my state, if you haven't paid your property taxes, the registration on the car is reasonable if you've already paid the huge amount of taxes that you owe.
Yeah, they get you coming and going. I mean, you really can't win. And I still, even after all that, I refused to go get my registration. The only reason I eventually, this past week, ended up doing it was because it's required from my job, because I transport clients around. And, you know, I have to have a legal vehicle. And I got a text message from one of the people at the office, and they were like, "Hey, we noticed that we don't have your current registration on file. We haven't had it since last November." And they're like, "You need to bring that down." So I was like, "All right, I'll get right on that." You know.
Well, for you, we'll do it, but you weren't going to do it for the government, though.
No, I absolutely wasn't. So, and I have friends that feel the same way. I have friends that think I'm absolutely crazy. There was a friend of mine who I was talking to on Facebook, and she said that she was at a local bar talking about that because she refuses to register her vehicle. She hasn't even renewed her license, I guess. And I guess that the patrons of the bar were actually getting mad at her and saying, "How dare you? You know, you should do this. We all have to do this." And, you know, she made the case why. Hey, why now, do I have to do it?
At a statist bar it was, wasn't it?
It must have been.
Well, people feel that way, you know, and so many, I mean, if they may not like to do it, but if they have to do it, then by golly, you have to do it. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't feel that way at all. I admire people that, you know, have the guts to challenge, you know, stupid rules. Civil disobedience has a long, proud history in this country, and people who don't care, you know, care more about what's right than, you know, sitting in the back of the bus maybe, or whatever the silly law is, or, you know, and some of them are very important. I mean, go back all the way to, you know, laws like the Fugitive Slave Act before the Civil War, and you can go on and on. It's a good thing, and I just admire somebody. Somebody says to me, "Well, I don't pay my taxes." I'm thinking, "Yeah, boy, I wish I had your guts." But I'm not in a good position to get around it. So here
I am. That's the thing, and we've talked about this in the past. It's weighing the consequences of your civil disobedience. But I find it interesting. You know, I think the most successful slave masters are the ones that get the rest of the slaves to come after the rebellious ones. Like in that bar, you know?
Oh, yeah. You didn't need the government to be putting the pressure on your friend. The other slaves were happy enough to do it. You know, because if you're not pulling your share, I mean, there's this fund that's millions of dollars that come in from registrations every year. And if somebody doesn't pay their share, maybe they'll have to raise the rates for everybody else, huh?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because my property taxes went up again this year. My escrow account actually ended up being short because of the increase in property taxes, so I had to make up the difference. And I went to the... I think I've told this story before. I went to the tax assessor down at City Hall last year, and I said, your property taxes are way too high. I mean, in my opinion, they're theft to begin with, and we shouldn't be paying them. But I said, you know, we need to take another look at this and reassess this. And I filled out the little form where they have you rate your house, the quality of it, and, you know, your land and everything. And I was honest, you know, I don't live in a palace. I mean, I live in an average house that needs work, and it's, you know, it was built in 1964. It's a little bit of an older place. And I got done, and I said, you know, I think you can lower this quite a bit. And the tax lady said, "Look, I'll see what I can do, but I'm not going to lower your taxes that much, because if I do, that'll bring down the property tax value of everyone else in that area. Thus, they'll get less tax revenue." So I was quite upset with that.
You were just dumping on the whole system by going in and asking for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm sure it depends on how. So I'm interested in what's happened with these. How many times have you gotten tickets for not having the registration current on your car?
More than I can count.
And when do you do anything? You know, when I'm on the Sunday Night Fiends show every once in a while with Derek J, and he's always got lots of great stories about going to court there in Keene, New Hampshire.
Well,
and have you had any of those similar experiences?
Yeah, none quite so fun and interesting as Derek, but I have gone a few times, and I've talked about him before in the show. The last time I went for failure to stop at a stop sign, the judge basically said, look, you know, you can contest this all you want, but you're not going to win because the state always wins. I mean, I can't remember his exact words.
He said something that was to that effect, though?
Yeah, he really did.
Did it strike you as being unbiased then?
It was totally biased. I mean, there was a hint of sympathy in the judge's voice, especially when he talked about concerning speeding tickets. If there's a radar gun or airplane or whatever, he is compelled to accept that as fact. But, people say you have your day. You can always have your day in court. And you can go and say, you know, I'm contesting the charges. And you can ask for a trial. And you may get off. Sometimes there are rare cases where you do. But more often than not, you don't, especially because of that slave enforcement mentality we talked about a few minutes ago. And if you want to appeal, I think I talked to you about this Sunday, you have to pay a rather hefty fee to go to the appeals court. It's so they're going to get you either way.
You mean to get a new trial at a higher level court?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I assume that, I think every state is probably a bit different. You don't have to pay that here in my state, but every one of them is different. Let me ask you one thing about the, you talked about two different kinds of traffic offenses. One is the registration, not having a registration current. Now that is just a typical picture of, violating just a decree of government, okay? And that's one kind of a traffic ticket. But then you also mentioned running a stop sign. People die running stop signs, right?
Right.
So there's two different kinds of things here, and I think most traffic laws, kind of fall into one of those two categories. One of them could be is perhaps a danger. And of course, when you ran a stop sign, who knows? Maybe you were just
didn't run it both ways.
Yeah, nobody. Well, okay, you didn't run it. But even if you had, maybe you already knew nobody was coming and nobody was endangered. Do you think a traffic offense could ever violate the non-aggression principle?
Yes, I do.
Okay, but not well if you don't actually run it. You wouldn't. But I'm thinking of a stop sign where there's nobody coming.
Right.
And there's plenty of traffic offenses that you can violate them. I mean, if there's nobody within 100 miles either way, you can cross the center line, and who cares?
Right.
Except the cops that wants to pull you over for a DWI.
And get some money off you.
And I want to ask you when we get back if you have those DWI checkpoints in Maine.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Now, we're back with the Freedom Feeds. This is Randy England, and Chandler St. Pierre is here.
That jabbering coon.
The jabbering coon cat. That's right. That's
and you're
right.
The Wampus.
The Wampus cat. Yes. That is a special breed of cat that takes a while to explain. Or you can just Google it. Hey, before we went on the break, I think I wanted to ask you, have you ever had, do you have any of these DWI checkpoints
now,
in Maine?
I'm sure
what those are?
Yes. And I'm sure that they exist. But I haven't seen them. I haven't encountered them yet.
We have them all the time here in Missouri. And it's funny, some of them, you know, are kind of kept secret, but they like to put them in the paper and on the news and stuff. Maybe not say where they're going to be, but just they like to tell the people that if you get drunk on such and such a night, that somebody somewhere will get you. And then they actually do have the DWI checkpoints. And the thing that it's been a month ago or something. Have you heard about the attorney in Florida?
Yes.
Who has the has this sign that you when you go to the DWI checkpoint, you know what the police do? They stop you. They want to see your license and registration, or your license and insurance, and they want you to roll down the window. And of course, they don't care about your registration or your license and insurance. That means nothing to them. I mean, even if you don't have it, it's a few bucks, you know, for the fine, and they don't care. They're looking for, you know, bigger fish. But that gets them into your car, gets your window down. And the point is, they want to hear you talk. They want to listen to your speech. Is it slurred? And they want to see if, you know, you smell like a brewery. And whether you smell like one or not, you got to get the window down for them to even have a chance to smell you, or at least to claim that they smell the alcohol coming from inside the car. And this attorney's idea is keep the window up, and that way nobody can smell or claim to have smelled, and nobody can hear you talk. And the piece of paper that this has been, you know, it's on YouTube, and that you can watch the videos. You hold the sign up into the window. And it says three big things. It says, I remain silent, which is usually real good advice with the police.
Yeah.
And then it says, no searches. So I don't consent to a search. And, you know, there aren't many bits of advice that a lawyer can give out. But the one that I've always had was never consent to a search. And it doesn't. That advice does not need to be qualified for anything at all when you've been stopped by the police. I guess if you were at the airport wanting to get on an airplane, well, you might not get on the plane if you didn't agree to their searches. But that's a little different situation. But when you encounter the police, if the police have the right to search you, they're going to search you anyway. And so if they ask, can I search, always say, I don't consent to searches. You know, you don't resist, you just don't consent. If they search, it's on them. Well, anyway, it says, I remain silent, no searches. And then the last thing in big print is, I want my lawyer. So now you've invoked all of your constitutional rights all on that one piece of paper. And then the beauty of the thing, it has in red smaller print underneath there, and this is all up in the window, you know, for the cop to see. It says, put any tickets under my windshield wiper, which is kind of interesting. And it says, I have to display my papers but not hand them to you. And then it has some statutory citations saying that you don't have to actually hand the thing to the police. And sometimes they'll say, I'm not signing anything that admits guilt, and thus I'm not going to open my window. And it's kind of interesting how that seems to have played out in some places.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of curious to see. I haven't seen how it would play in my state, but I'm waiting for somebody to tell me.
Somebody's got to try it.
Yep. Well, I think we are going into our break and taking it to the market here soon.
Yes. Free market.
Yes.
Of ID. But
the Freedom Fiends will be back.
Worms.
Worms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Worms, worms, worms. Ooh, that's scary.
Oh, no.
Sounds so fierce.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and we're back broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, which allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more about it at BIPCOT.com. org. This is Randy England. I'm here with Chandler St. Pierre. Now, if you were listening for the soothing tones of Michael Dean, Michael has developed a really severe case of asthma in the past few months and his lifelong allergy to cats. And if anyone has listened very long, they know that Michael is a great cat fan. His lifelong allergy to cats has flared up and flared up badly, and he cannot have cats anymore. And this is serious. If there's any sane person, Michael's asked, within driving distance of Casper, Wyoming, who would like to adopt one or both of his wonderful kitties, Peanut and Charlie, please contact Michael by sending an email to talkback@freedomfiends.com. talkback@freedomfiends.com. Chandler, are you there?
I am. I wish I was closer. I would take them both. I love kitties. I'm like, I'm sure you've never watched this show, but I'm like Bubbles in Trailer Park Boys. You ever seen that?
I have not watched Trailer Park Boys,
Well, you might like it. I don't know. It's this horribly vulgar, mindless show, but it's really funny. And the character in the show, Bubbles, he has lots of kitties, and he loves kitty cats.
Well, so, I like cats. I do too. I don't have one though, but I've had cats. And when we had kids at home, we always had animals, and we've had, you know, more cats and dogs both.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've always had cats and dogs growing up, and the older I get, I'm less inclined to have another pet, like a dog specifically. I love my dog. She's a cute little hound dog. She's not very smart, let's put it that way. But I think she's probably going to be the last dog. Dogs are very high maintenance and subservient. Cats are so much more independent. Sometimes that can be a little annoying, like at 6 a.m. when you've only had 3 hours sleep and they're crawling all over you waiting for their food dish to be filled. But, you know, they are definitely, like when I go to Porkfest, you know, I can leave food and water for my cats. I have to have somebody come over and check it, you know, if I'm going to be gone the whole week. But that's pretty much it. You know, with my dog, when I go to Porkfest, I have to bring my dog to my dad's house or something, have somebody take care of her, because, you know, she can't be alone for a week.
Are you going to Porkfest this year?
I sure am.
It's going to be my first time.
Oh, you're going?
Oh, I am going.
Oh, I am so psyched. I'll get to meet you. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, well... Don't get too much of a build up, okay?
Yeah.
Although I'm really excited just about getting to meet all of the people that I've talked to, I mean, not just freedom fiends, but people, you know, all over the place that you talk to and communicate with on the internet, and now, bang, most of them are going to be there.
It is really cool. Like, I've been the last 2 years. The first year I met Ben Stone, I actually sat with him and his wife, Cindy. Ben Stone, the bad Quaker, and his wife, Cindy. I sat with them a couple of times and kind of chilled out and talked. And last year I got to meet Michael and quite a few of the fans. I got to meet Lou, and
most of the fiends were there.
Yeah, most of them were there.
Except me. So
it was really great. And we're talking about the Porcupine Freedom Festival that's held in Lancaster, New Hampshire, I think it's the last week of June every year.
Right, and I think it is this year.
It is. Oh, it's just heaven for a week. It's so great. And I'm very fortunate. Freedom Fiends fiend phone computer programmer, Derek Slopey, him and his wife, I actually knew them before I got connected with the fiends, but they always go, and they're so gracious. They rent a double site, a double tent site, and they let me pitch my little tent on their site, and I hang out with them. They're really cool cats. I love
them. Well, how nice that was. Well, I won't be roughing it quite as much. I think I'm going to stay at a hotel, but I'll be there most of the time, except when I'm sleeping.
Well, I'll tell you, the older I get, the less excited I get about camping. And, you know, roughing it is tough, although I don't really rough it. You know, I bring my tent, and I have a queen-size air mattress, and I have my iPod and my laptop and my guns, and I'm usually pretty good. But it gets a little tough. But, you know, last year, I remember one night, I think it was the night of the big gay dance party. I had taken my daughter and her girlfriend down, and they got a kick out of that, and my daughter's 16, and they kind of chilled out and hung out there for a while, and then they came back and went to bed. And I'm not a big social person. I'm more of a quiet, keep to myself kind of guy. And I came back. I had a few drinks, and I sat by the bonfire we had at our site. And I was like, geez, I'm getting tired. Maybe I should go to bed. You know, it's 11 o'clock. I'm old. And I took my sleeping bag and I put it outside in front of the fire pit. And I ended up sleeping out there all night. And I got to tell you, man, it was one of the best night's sleep I've had in years. Just sleeping on the ground with a sleeping bag and a pillow in front of a fire.
What's the temperature like in northern New Hampshire in June?
Depends, but I mean, on a good night, you get like 65, 68 degrees, sometimes 70.
Is that a high or is that a low?
That's 70 degrees is comfortable, you know. If you're in a sleeping bag, I was plenty comfortable. I mean, I'm always cold. I hate winters. You'll hear me constantly complaining about winter. I just don't do the cold well, but I also don't do the extreme heat well. I lived in Florida for a year, and that was just too much for me.
Well, those are a long way apart. There's lots of places sort of in between, like Missouri.
What's the weather like in Missouri?
The weather here is nice. It doesn't get over. You ever see 100. It doesn't get to be 100. The winter, you have cold temperatures that could get down to zero, but not very often. Usually the extremes are not that bad. And I'm, of course, really used to it. So what can I say? I've lived in the Midwest all my life, and that's what you get here. But, you know, I can understand why you might be a little chilly in Maine. I don't know. Hey, I think before we went to the break, I can't remember exactly. We were talking about this fellow down in Florida, the attorney who has this sheet that he has people put in the window if they come to a DWI checkpoint. And I think there are places different people, I guess they're probably attorneys in different states, that are creating versions of this thing. I don't think one's been created for my state yet. I kind of looked at it, but I don't. You know, I'm a little bit nervous about what would happen if somebody used it. The last thing they have on the sheet that you put up for the police to read against the window while your window is up is it says, "I will comply with clearly stated lawful orders." And I think the purpose of that being there is that if they might think twice about breaking the window out, you know, before actually just telling you to do it. But kind of one of the cleverest things about it is that on the that's the sheet side of the sheet that you put up against the window that the cop sees. On the back side of the sheet is the stuff for you to see. And it's pretty simple. I don't know if you could pull it off if you were really drunk, but, you know, it says, you know, put the other side against the window, you know, so the police can see it. So you get that, and it says, don't speak at all, not one word, record everything you're doing, keep your hands where the officer can see them, it says.
That's a big one, yeah. And, well, have you seen the videos of, and I think it's in Florida, it might even be the same guy, where they do this, what you're talking about, but they put everything in a large Ziploc plastic baggie and put it in the window facing outside and have the window rolled up so it's just hanging there. And when they come up to the cop and the cop, you know, grabs the bag to look at it, they just roll the window down a crack so he can take the bag. And it's got the license, registration, insurance, and that sheet that says all that. And the guy says nothing, and he's just holding a, you know, a cell phone recording the whole thing. And you in a couple of the videos, you can clearly see how agitated and frustrated the cop is, but he just waves them through.
Well, they don't know what to do, and probably the cops have such an ingrained idea that you have to hand them that stuff. They have to hold it in their hands. If you ever have been stopped by a cop and try to hold your license up like in your wallet, you know, the cop will always demand that you take it out of the yep. wallet and hand it to them. And yep. so the cops have taught themselves that they have the right to have you hand it to them. But yet, I don't know how it is in Florida. Apparently, you don't have to do that. And I researched the statute in my state, and the statute in my state just says you only have to display your license or display your insurance card. And display is not hand. And so where it tells you in this on the back of the sheet you put up there, hold your license and your registration or your insurance up against the window. You're required to display them. You don't have to hand them over, so you don't have to open the window. And I think the thing with the bag, you know, was a kind of a way to maybe let the police handle it without you having to expose yourself to them. Now, I think you'd defeat the purpose if you open the window at all, though. You'd need to get it out and roll the window back up before the cop came up, because you don't want them even getting a whiff of what's coming from the inside of that car, right?
That is true.
You don't want their imagination even to run wild.
Yeah, you don't want to give them an open.
Yeah.
Because if you open that window, they can say, oh, I smelled, you know, marijuana or whatever, you know.
Right. And if a cop wants to give you a ticket, you're going to be screwed at that point, because he's going to want you to sign the ticket. And if you don't sign a traffic ticket, they can arrest you.
Yeah.
And then you have a real problem. But they emphasize that if you are absolutely ordered to do something by their authority, you should just obey.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
to this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Worm. Meow. Worm. Meow. Ooh. Scary kitty. He's fierce. You know, I had a thought, Randy.
Yeah.
If you ever get pulled over, you should just have that on your cell phone and just play that. Maybe you'll scare the cop away.
Okay, I'll let you know how it goes. Yep.
So, before we went to the market, you were saying that if you ever get a forceful order from a cop, a lawful order, you should probably just obey. Why is that?
Now, we were talking about one of these DWI checkpoints where you were running this gimmick where you put the sign in the window and the window's rolled up, and probably the cop is going to be giving some order like open the window, I'm going to break it out, or ordering you to get out. And I think what I said was, if you get an order like that, you probably should obey it. And the thing I guess that makes me think that is the right thing to do is that it doesn't matter whether it's a lawful order or an unlawful order. And you're good either way. If it's a lawful order, then you better obey it or you're going to get in really deep trouble. But pretend that maybe you have had too much to drink, or not too much to drink, but maybe had two or something, three beers, enough that it's going to cause you some trouble, even though you're not intoxicated under the law, and you don't want to roll down the window. And the cop says, roll it down, or I'm going to break it out. And you go, okay, you know, you roll it down, and then he smells the alcohol. That? Do what?
Like, can they say, roll the window down or I'll break it out?
Well, some do break out the windows. I mean, you see videos of them breaking out windows. But here's the trick. If they order you to do something that they don't have the authority to do because they don't have, you know, they've already verified that you have a current license, you have current insurance, all of the excuses they'd have to get into your stuff have already been satisfied, and here they are still ordering you around when they've completed the purposes of an administrative stop and don't have any other reasonable suspicion to stop you. At that point, if they give you an illegal order and you comply with it, and then you end up getting some more trouble, like they find something in the car that you didn't want them to find, or they decide that you did have too much to drink, probably that case is going to end up getting thrown out if the order that you complied with was an illegal order. So you have nothing to lose by complying with the order, and you don't have to be an expert and decide whether it's a legal order or an illegal order. Just obey it. Because if it's legal, you better obey it anyway, or you'll be in more trouble. And if it's an illegal order, you can get out from under whatever bad comes from it. So
It all sounds so complicated. I think we could be better.
You know, it is.
We
it's
didn't
pretty
have
disgusting.
State enforcement, and well, they're not peace officers anymore. They're
law enforcement officers.
Yeah, they're there to generate revenue.
Yes, once upon a time they were peacekeepers, but that's not the way it is anymore. But anyway, I haven't talked to anybody, you know, that has tried doing this, and I wouldn't advise anyone to do it because it could go badly. It's not the sort of thing that you would try unless you were doing it as a bit of activism. I'm not sure how it would work. The trouble is that you don't know how individual police officers are going to react to it. You know, a lot of them might look at it and kind of be confused. And if you have some good statutory references on there, you know, saying, I do not have to hand you my license, and then you put the statute that says you don't have to hand it to them, and the same thing with your insurance. I mean, if you had it laid out there, there's probably a lot of cops that would look at it and go, oh, go on, get out of here. I'm not going to bite on this one. But there's got to be others that would, you know, just start screaming at the top of their lungs and and there's a few out there, you know, that you might even invite a windshield full of bullets. Who knows?
That's yeah. Mm.
That yeah, so me. I wouldn't just tell anyone to do such a thing as a matter of everyday policy.
You know what really frustrates me though, Randy, is that I'm a guy. I'm a hippie, right? I'm a peaceful, quiet, down earth guy. I do carry a gun. In fact, like I've said several times on the show, I have 3 guns in this room within arm's distance of me. But I'm a peaceful man. I believe in trying to resolve disputes peacefully, you know, with words and whatever. But the fact that some guy in a uniform can shoot out my window because I'm not obeying his orders, it really troubles me. It makes me angry. And it makes me angry that I can't react to that. I can't defend myself. Because if I do, I'll either end up dead or in jail.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just dodge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com. FiendPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
There's that pompous guy.
Right, and this is the Freedom Fiends with Randy England tonight and Chandler St. Pierre. And Chandler, you were trying to explain to me during the break about how computer systems have open or closed architecture, and you have your own preferences, which I'm sure that you'll explain, but that there's some analogy there to open and closed systems in society, too. So maybe you could explain that to me a little better.
Okay. So, many of you guys listening, guys and gals out there listening, know that I'm not a Mac fanboy. My main system I run for all my work is a Mac, but I also have two Windows computers, one that I custom built, and I also have a Linux system. So I embrace...
Which one are we listening to now?
FiendPhone is actually running on a new... kind of funny story. Where I live in Maine, the state does what's called a surplus sale every month, where when the state upgrades whatever, computers, gear... I mean, you go to this surplus sale, you can find anything. I found, like, old army clothes, tools. The last one I went to, I was really, really sad that I didn't have more money because they had a double bass 9-piece Ludwig drum set for $200. I was, like, drooling when I saw this drum set. It was a prison drum set, and it was all silver. It was beautiful, but I didn't have $200. To buy this drum set, unfortunately. So anyway, I got a computer there. I've gotten several there. And I got the latest version of Windows, Windows 0.8. I've been very, very reluctant to move to Windows 8 because I don't like the interface. But after fooling around with it for a week and a half now...
You were able to get rid of the interface, right?
Well, I've customized it enough where it's satisfactory to me. I really liked the flashy arrow effects of Windows 7, which are absent in Windows 8, and I can deal with that.
Do you have 8 or 8.1?
I have 8.1.
Okay.
And I will say, once you get around some of the new features and the fact that 8.1 looks like a like a smartphone, once you get past that, it's okay, and it's really fast.
It boots up quick.
Yeah, my boot times and shutdown times are about 10 and 8 seconds respectively. So, and that's really good. So I got this this computer. It's a Lenovo ThinkCenter 2.9 gigahertz dual core with 4 gigs of RAM, and I threw a 256 megabyte graphics card in it, which I didn't really need to, but I did anyway. So I've got that running strictly for Fiend Phone. Like, I've downloaded Mozilla for my email client and Firefox for my browser and Fiend Phone. That's all I have installed on this computer, and that's all I will have installed on this computer. So, but we know that I really like Macs. I have a Mac Pro 1.1, which is an early 2006 model. And I've been experimenting with it lately. And the other day, I noticed that my core temperatures were running a little hot. And I did some Googling and started reading on some forums. And forums are a great resource. You know, you can find a forum for anything. So there's Mac Rumors Forum. And there's another one, Netkes, N-E-T-K-A-S or K-E-S. I can't remember exactly what. If you Google it, it'll come up.
Well, doesn't Mac have an app that you can turn down the thermostat or something?
So in my Mac Pro, I have four fans. One's a double fan. And if you've ever seen the old Mac Pros, they're huge. They're beautiful looking, and they're huge. And I got a third-party application that you can control every single fan. You can set it. You can set certain parameters for when it reaches a certain temp, when this area of the desktop reaches a certain temperature, you know, the fans kick on and go this certain speed, whatever. It's very customizable. It's beautiful. And my Mac is silent right now,
with four fans going?
Yes, as opposed to the other computer.
Well, if you're not using it, though, they probably don't go very much, right?
Well, I'm using it right now. I've got a browser and my email client open in my Mac, and I've got Fiend Phone running on my Windows PC right now. But anyway, so I noticed the temperatures were a little hot, and I started reading up on the forums about that. And, you know, this is a 2006 computer, so it's 9 years old. So the thermal paste separates the heatsink from the CPUs is probably pretty old and worn, and it needs to be replaced, which, if you're not a tech guy, you probably shouldn't mess with that. But I got to tell you, it's really not that difficult to take apart a PC or a Mac, for that matter. So I was reading, and one of the guys was like, well, since you're going to be in there reapplying thermal paste to your heatsink and your CPU, why don't you just replace them? So originally, my Mac came with 2 dual-core Xeon processors at 3 gigahertz. And I went on eBay and found 2 quad-core, that's 8 cores, 3 gigahertz processors, very cheap. Ordered them on eBay, got them. If you look on my Facebook account, you'll see that I posted pictures of me performing the surgery on my Mac. And I upgraded to 3 quad-core, 3 gigahertz processors. And I also have 16 gigs of RAM and a 512 graphics card. This computer is 9 years old, and it screams. It is comparable, if not better, than my custom-built 2009 PC that I built. So anyway, I was looking through, and for the longest time, I was on OS X 10.6.8, which is Snow Leopard. Great operating system. Very fast, very sleek, a lot of good features. But it's no longer supported security-wise, and a lot of applications like Photoshop, a lot of video and audio editing software, the newer versions are only out for the higher operating systems. So I was looking through, and I said, I want to upgrade to Mountain Lion, which is not the latest Mac operating system, but it's a good one. And for some reason, the Mac Pro 1.1s didn't support Mountain Lion because it's all 64-bit, okay, which is a 64-bit architecture, which is a little bit faster. Now, the chips in this Mac Pro are 64-bit capable, but the firmware for booting up the computer, and I know I'm talking gibberish to a lot of people, I apologize. If you want to find out more, you can message me on Facebook and I'll explain the whole thing and send you links. But the firmware for booting up the computers is 32-bit, which is a little slower. Anyway, so I got reading on these blogs, and there are innovative and creative people who said, why should I buy a new Mac Pro when my old one from 2006 is capable of booting into 64-bit and running these operating systems? It's just that Apple never released the firmware. And there's a lot of theories as to why that is. The prevalent one is that they didn't want to release a firmware update because they wanted to sell newer computers, which may or may not be true. Who knows? Anyway, through lots of reading and helpful advice from people contributing on forums. And when I say contributing, I mean they'll be like, okay, so I tried running this application and this terminal script, and this worked and this didn't. And people work through and they work through. There's a guy who's developed an application that basically automates the process for rewriting your boot EFI file to update to 64-bit. So long story short, I am now, after I upgraded my processors and I ran this Apple script and did a few things tinkering in a terminal, which anyone who uses Linux or Mac knows what terminal is. It's kind of like the command prompt in Windows. I am running OS X Mountain Lion 10.9 on an unsupported Mac. Like, Apple doesn't officially sanction running this OS on this particular Mac. But you know what? It's running really smoothly on mine. Really fast. Really nice. I'm starting to like it a lot. I think I'm going to... Of course, I backed up my hard drive, but I think I'm going to stick with this OS. So, my point is that you get closed systems, right? Apple, what was the quote? Steve Jobs made prison cool. Okay. Yeah, Apple is kind of a closed system. They're very particular about what runs on their systems. But there are innovative and curious people that are willing to experiment and try new things. And they're on the internet, they're in message groups, whatever. You can talk to them. And they're really cool people. There's no political discussion in these, thank God, because I don't even want to know what the politics of some of these people are. But when it comes to tech stuff, they're really cool about opening up these systems and upgrading. So when people say, you know, I don't like Macs because it's a closed system and I can't control it, that's really not true. Because if you look around, start reading, start talking to people, and start experimenting, it takes a little work, but you can adapt to rewrite, rework the way these systems work, right? Like I said, I'm using an unsupported operating system on this Mac, and it's working beautifully. So,
It sounds to me like you're saying you can, you really can make it do the things you want it to do. You just have to work harder and dig deeper to find the ways around.
Exactly. You have,
as opposed to a Windows or a Linux system.
Well, no, Linux and Windows even. You can do it with any of the computer systems. But the point is that you have to, let's see. It's easy to go to the App Store and update the latest updates and get your system running. Okay, but it may not run the way you want. Like, I may not have custom dock icons, or I may not have custom boot controls or BIOS controls. But if you start talking to people on these forums and you start working together, bringing your problems and presenting them, and they work on solutions, you start to adapt and customize these systems so that they fit you best. And I think you can bring that out in society as well.
Well, maybe we'll have time to talk about that when we come back from this break.
Well, I sure hope so.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Cat sounds so fierce and mine sounds so timid. Who cats are? I need to readjust my meow.
Well, think about that before we're on next time. Yeah. We're back with the Freedom Fiends now, and I'm Randy England, and this is Chandler St. Pierre, who was talking about Max, and actually I don't know much about that, but he promised me that the analogy here is now this closed architecture system and how that would fit into, what was it, LibPair?
Is that
what we're talking about?
Yeah. To get to freedom, to get to individualism. Well, so when I was saying that I conversed with people on different forums and we presented problems and worked towards solutions, it wasn't coerced. Like, we all had the problem that we couldn't run this on that, you know, X on Y, because it's closed and they want to keep a tight regulation on it, much like the state does. So
the state is Steve Jobs.
No.
And we're going to find a way around him.
No, let's not do that to Steve Jobs. I kind of like the guy. I kind of liked him. But the state is definitely a closed system. If you don't work within their system, you get penalized. You get, fined, caged, killed, whatever. So, as individuals who love freedom, we need to work together. We need to present our individual problems to each other. What's the saying? No man is an island. Like, you see a lot of these patriot types, right? That they'll be like, well, I'll stand alone and I'll stand for my rights and fight till the death. That's all good and well. More power to you. But there's something to be said, and I'm not talking about being dependent. I'm talking about working cooperatively with other people. So that, if you have, let's say, a DWI checkpoint in your area, and there's a network of people that knows about it, you can work around that DWI checkpoint, can't you?
Isn't there an app for that?
I think there is. Technology is a wonderful thing. And you can bring that out in so many areas, right? I've often said that it's really nice to have guns and gold and all those things that smart people talk about.
Wonderful.
As backups. And I'm not dissing them. I'm not, like, being sarcastic. It is really a cool thing to have those resources.
Guns and gold. And can you have too much guns and gold?
No, you can't. I'm too poor for gold. Silver's really nice, too. Even copper's nice. I like it. It's shiny.
Get some ammo instead.
Yeah. But what about skills? What about knowledge base? That's something that people don't often consider. What if my friend down the road knows how to grow vegetables really efficiently? So I connect with that person. And I work around the closed system of buying month-old groceries that have been shipped in from God knows where, and they end up on the shelf in the grocery store and only stay good for a week.
Well, you said earlier,
I learned how to grow my own.
You said that you were a hippie earlier, and I was going to ask you, just how are you a hippie?
Long hair, the laid-back attitude, the kind of back-to-nature thing.
Different ways. Yeah, you need a little more than the hair, but yeah. Well, I was thinking of, growing your own vegetables as classic, self-sufficiency, back to the land hippies.
Yeah, and it's funny because a lot, like, I know we have certain stereotypes of people, hippies, whatever, and they don't fit because I had a guy who just met by chance through another guy who came and cleaned my boiler, my furnace. And we got to talking about self-sufficiency, about gardening, about alternative currencies, all kinds of stuff, you know. And I recognized that that guy had a lot of value. You know, I could talk to him about computers and he'd be clueless. But he could talk to me about auto mechanics and gardening, and I'm not so strong in those subjects. And he had a lot to offer. So I think when we work together, we present our problems to each other and we work together towards solutions, we can get around all these closed, restrictive systems and we can achieve personal liberty.
I think you are an agorist, Chandler.
I think that's a good term.
That's kind of fun. Hey, I think we're coming to the end of the hour here. I had a great time. Thanks for being with me. I don't know what I would have done if I was by myself here.
Thank you, Randy. I'm great time, too.
I am missing Michael tonight.
Me, too.
Oh, gee.
Positive energy towards Michael.
Oh, yes, yes. Everyone, raise your hand.
Worms.
Worms.
Take care, everyone.